What does the Bible have to say to us about the last things? How do we understand the book of Revelation? Do the scriptures have anything to say to us about the times in which we live? Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, California, and I invite you to a free conference on understanding the end times, a biblical perspective on the last things. Saturday, November 7th, 2015 at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Speakers include professors and authors Dr. Dennis Johnson and Dr. Kim Riddlebarger. That's Saturday, November 7th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, visit our website, christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
We've all heard the importance of keeping the Ten Commandments. Maybe the one commandment that it has the question mark over it is the fourth: you shall honor and keep the Sabbath day holy. Do we really believe that? Is the Sabbath just about a checklist about what we can do and what we can't do? That is how the Sabbath has been approached. And of course, we've heard in our day that anyone who tells you you should keep the Sabbath day is a legalist or is being legalistic. We're going to look at all this today on Abounding Grace Radio as we continue our study in the Heidelberg Catechism. So thankful to have Pastor Mike Brown with us from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. You can call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook, and we're so thankful to have this opportunity to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Well, this is our Friday session, Mike, and we're continuing our study in the Heidelberg Catechism. I think the first, second, and third, everyone would agree with, right? You should not have idols, you shouldn't bow down to idols, and you shouldn't trash the Lord's name.
Yeah, not good things to do.
Not good things to do. But now we come to the fourth, and what is the fourth commandment, and why is that so important? That's what we're looking at today on Abounding Grace, and we're going through the Heidelberg Catechism to look at that. So this is Lord's Day 38, question 103. What is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? Maybe, Mike, just before we answer that, just explain what the fourth commandment is. What is the fourth commandment?
Well, in Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 8, the Lord says, "Remember the Sabbath day," Shabbat, which means to pause. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." So it's to be set apart from the other days. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
Right. And so as we're looking at this in the Heidelberg Catechism, it explains the meaning of that this way. What is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? First, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive, that's such an important emphasis, festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people, that's worship, to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Now, there's so much to talk about on this, but I want to begin, Mike, and say that the Sabbath is presented to us as a festive day of rest, something that is to be, and the scriptures always presented it as a delight. And I think it's important to begin with here. We'll unpack that somewhat. But typically when people hear the Sabbath, they say, well, that was for Israel. That was right. For Israel in the old covenant that was given in the fourth commandment just for national Israel. And therefore it has no implication for us in the New Covenant. And I think it's helpful to begin with looking at the origin of the Sabbath. And maybe that's where you could start and help us, Mike. Where did this come from? Did it just start when God commanded this on Mount Sinai that we should have a Sabbath?
Right. It's older than that. It goes all the way back to creation. That's the first thing we want to think about, is that the Sabbath, it's rooted in creation. If we only look at the Sabbath or the fourth commandment like something that was for the nation of Israel alone, then we really have an unbiblical view of the Sabbath. And I want to back up further to say to respond to something that you said that's so important, Chris. You know, if we're thinking of the Sabbath as a list of rules that we have to keep, or what do I get to do, what can't I do, our whole approach is wrong. Right. You know, as you said, the Heidelberg Catechism says the festive day of rest. It's a holiday. Who doesn't like a holiday? We should think of it as we have 52 built-in holidays a year. And it goes back to creation. So in the beginning, what did God do? He created all things, right? The heavens, the earth, the sea, all that's in them. And he does it in what the Bible describes as 6 days. Then on the seventh day, God rested. Now, the Lord's speaking metaphorically there. The Lord doesn't need rest. It's not as though he was tired. God cannot get tired, but rather that after creating everything, he pauses, is what Shabbat means. It means to take a rest, to stop from your work. And so all of this is a pattern for us as God's image bearers. We reflect God's image in our work, right? God worked. He created all things. Well, we reflect God when we work and we are to fulfill our vocations. We reflect God when we rule over creation, as he is the ruler over all. And we reflect God when we rest on the seventh day. Those are the three main ways that human beings reflect the image of God. And so we need to understand that the Sabbath then goes back to being human. It goes back, and we all know this, don't we? By natural law, we know that you can't just work every day.
You need a rest.
You need a rest. Your body needs a rest. You got to take a break. You'll actually be more productive if you have a weekly break. And so there's this rhythm that God has built into us as image bearers, as human beings, and into the world where we work 6 days, we rest. We work 6 days, we rest. It goes back to creation.
Right. And just to add to that, just a thought that came to my mind, certain countries throughout history have tried to tamper with that schedule. It's been disastrous. Right. Everybody, even in all of our cultures, we know you've got to have some kind of rest in the course of a week's work week. Well, the Lord has given us something beautiful right out of creation that you talked about patterning. And I think it's interesting to say, to support this, that even in Exodus 16, before the giving of the law on Sinai, the Lord had expected, somehow communicated to Moses and told the children of Israel that they were to take a Sabbath. They were to rest. They were not to go out and gather on that day, to trust the Lord to provide for them, but also to have a day set apart where they could stop all of the wilderness journey cares, all the struggles of daily life, and think of how hard daily life is, all the things that we're pressed with, all the hardships, realities of living in a sin-cursed world. And we stop and we rest and think about all that the Lord has done, worship him with his people, enjoy him. That is the greatest blessing that the Lord has given to us, to stop and to do that, to cease. That's that word, right? Cease, stop. And we need that. The Lord knows what we need. But yeah, it's not just that he does that to make life hard on us.
No, just the opposite.
He's giving that because we need spiritual rest.
Right. It's a break for body and soul. And you know, that's something we can talk about too, is that we should not feel any guilt taking a nice nap in the afternoon on the Lord's day. It's refreshment for the soul. It's, as the Puritans used to say, the market day for the soul. You go to the market during those 6 days for your food, for the things you need to bring to the table. And then what you do is you go to the market for your soul when you attend the means of grace. And we gather together to worship the Lord. It's a break, just as is Israel was to take a break from their work, go out into the wilderness and worship the Lord. Well, we are to do the same. Just as Israel was as a nation to reflect God's holy ways and demonstrate to the nations around them what God had instituted from creation, salvation. That's what we are to do. We're to take a break from all the buzz and noise and the weekly grind of work in order to have rest for the body and spiritual rest for the soul.
You know, I think, Mike, going on what you just outlined, there's two sort of dangers today that might be helpful to talk about. We talk about the problem. We hear this commonly referenced with regard to the Sabbath, that it's that people are being legalistic about the Sabbath. Or there's the other problem, which is functionally how the church is operating today, which is antinomian with regard to the Sabbath. It's completely lawless. They believe that there's no more rest that needs to be for the people of God in that pattern of work 6 days and rest. So you have either of these dangers. They're two sides of the same coin. And so with legalism, you know, I think it's important to say that whatever the Pharisees did, whatever the Sadducees did to the Sabbath, should not become an excuse to avoid the Sabbath. I remember reading somebody on the Sabbath, and you have the Talmud and all these things, and their view of the Sabbath would be something like this. If you spit on the ground and the spit hits the dirt and rolls, that would be breaking the Sabbath because that's plowing.
Well,
but
yeah.
If it hits a rock and breaks up, then it's okay. That's the kind of stuff that I think people hear and they say, see, you're being legalistic. We should have, therefore, no requirements on the
right.
Sabbath.
No, right? And we have to understand that just because people have abused the Sabbath in that way, or they've added their rules and laws to God's law, doesn't nullify the good commandment that God has given for us to enjoy the Christian life. I mean, this is part of enjoying the Christian life. This is not a bummer. This is a delight. And so we have to understand that it's built into who we are as human beings, as image bearers. It goes back to creation, but then it doesn't just look to history past in creation. It also looks forward. It points to heaven. We really need to remember that you know, the Sabbath in the beginning was given to Adam to point him to something greater, to the eternal heavenly rest that would be his if he remained faithful in his duty. And in many ways, like Adam, Israel was placed in a covenant in which if they would obey the Lord's commands, they would enjoy rest. Remember, he said, if you keep my law in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have rest from your enemies. Your grain is going to abound. There'll be rain and sunshine and good things. But if you disobey, then you're not going to enjoy that rest. And so it's important for us to understand that it's pointing to something greater, an earthly rest in the land of Canaan was a type and shadow of the ultimate rest that we'll have in the new heavens and new earth. And that is the interpretation that the writer to the Hebrews places on the Sabbath when he says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, Hebrews 4:9. God gave the Sabbath sign to Adam in the garden and then renewed the Sabbath sign with Israel to point to something further and greater. And then Hebrews tells us that remains for us in the new covenant.
Right. And I think, you know, we have this. This is why the Heidelberg gives such an emphasis on if somebody were to come, and I always get nervous when they say, well, what can or I can't do on the Sabbath? And I just, you know, Mike and I were talking about this before the program. That just wrecks the whole intention of the Sabbath when you approach it as a list of do's or don'ts. What does the Heidelberg say we should do with the Sabbath? Well, what we should do is attend the assembly of God's people. That just echoes what Mike says is held out for us in entering into glory, the new heavens and the new earth. There remains that rest. Well, here we get to have a foretaste of that, mm-hmm. and we get to enjoy that in our weekly routine of stopping and enjoying the assembly of God's people in peace and in rest. I mean, it's so needful,
right,
for the Christian to be refreshed in the truths of the gospel, to come and delight himself in the Lord,
right,
to come and to learn more about him. Anyone who would ever view that as a burden or would say, I'm, you know, and Hebrews warns, you went to Hebrews, warns against neglecting the assembling together, as is the matter of some. There are some who say, we don't need to go to church. It's a very serious sin because you're denying essentially what the ultimate rest that is held out for us, what all this is teaching us about that rest.
That's right.
And what we need for daily life, right?
Yeah, it's again, it's to be an enjoyment. It's a delight, or to call the Sabbath a delight. That's really what it is. It's, you know, Isaiah 58 says, the Lord said that to Israel, call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable. Because it's something that blesses us, refreshes us, built into creation, but it also points us to the future. And that's really the reason why we celebrate the Sabbath on the first day of the week rather than the seventh day of the week. There's still that pattern of 6 and 1, but with the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week, we have the birthday of the new creation. And that's why you have then the Holy Spirit at Pentecost being given on the first day of the week, and then the apostles meeting together, as you know, Acts 20 and so many other places tell us, the Lord's Day, as it's called in the book of Revelation, it's the first day of the week because it's this birthday of the new creation, a holiday for us to enjoy, but it's also pointing us forward to something greater.
You know, I think only somebody who would have an issue with wanting to let go of their own desires is going to struggle with this. I mean, we've met probably, Mike, people in the ministry who, you know, they love the ministry, but then they hear, oh, the Sabbath day. And it really confronts them with their whole view of worship and this work rest, that rest pattern. You know, it's interesting in Isaiah chapter 58, this is the perspective the Lord gives of the Sabbath. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and you shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, that doesn't sound like a legalistic burden to me. Whatever riding on the high hills of the earth is, I want to do it, right?
That's right.
And, you know, and it's fascinating here that the Lord is saying that one of the ways you're going to actually find yourself to delight in the Lord is to Sabbath. That may seem like a basic point, but it's such an important point. One of the reasons we're created is not just to glorify God, but to enjoy God.
Right.
Maybe you struggle with enjoying God. All of us do. We need to enjoy him more. And people try to find enjoyment of him in all sorts of different ways. But here's the prescribed way right here. It is his Sabbath. Everything that it points to, everything that's telling us, everything that's providing for us, if we delight in that Sabbath, we will delight ourselves in the Lord.
Well, it's providing us with refreshment, and that means that we also have to set our priorities properly. It's really important for us to do. You know, the Christian life always gets out of whack when we have our priorities out of whack. And so, number one priority, you know, is our goal in life should be to glorify the Lord and to enjoy him. And so that means that I need to be at the means of grace to worship the Lord, to give him the honor that he deserves and he enjoys, and also to receive from his open hand his word and sacraments. So come rain, snow, or shine, my family and I, that's where we're going. There's nothing legalistic about that. It's just simple obedience to the Lord and enjoying him. And then also that whole day then becomes a rest. And so it's not something, you know, people look at it as though, oh, you're putting us back under the law by keeping the Sabbath. That's the wrong approach to look at it. It's right. No more, that we're no more brought under the law than if we are, when we say we are not to kill or not to murder or not to commit adultery. No, we desire to please the Lord. We have hearts now that have been changed by the gospel, and we desire to honor the Lord. And one of the ways we honor him is by enjoying the holiday that he's given for our own rest and good. And so, you know, if we could just get real practical here for a minute, Chris, I think this is where, as families, we have to really guard the Sabbath. You know, pick a job, listeners, where you're not going to have to work on the Lord's Day. Certainly, there's going to be some employment that's necessary and needed in God's ordinary providence. We need doctors to be working at the hospital. We need police and firemen and that kind of thing, and military on the Lord's Day. But most jobs aren't like that. You know, do I really need to be working at the mall or even working at a restaurant, you know, to make ends meet on the Lord's Day that's supposed to be a day of refreshment. So what I suggest as a pastor is, because people will come and say, yeah, but I have to pay my bills. I get that. I totally respect that. But here's what I suggest. Tell your boss, say, listen, out of religious conviction and out of my obedience to the Lord, I can't work on this day, but I will work the other six and be available on those six and be the best employee you can be so that your boss doesn't want to get rid of you. And then if you do get a pay cut or you don't make the promotion, then chalk that up as persecution for the Lord and try to find a job where you don't have to work. And then make the day a delight. If you have kids, make it special. Something my wife has done since our kids were little was just buy those cheap cinnamon rolls, you know, in the container that are so easy to pop open and throw into the oven. She's done that every Sunday morning as far back as I can remember. And, you know, the house smells like cinnamon rolls on the Lord's Day. And so the kids are growing up with that association. This is a good day. And then make it a delight. It's not to be a bummer. It's to be a day of refreshment. Come home from church, have a nice meal. If you can, prepare some of that the night before. Put something in the crock pot. Just make it easy. Don't make such a work on your wife. And then enjoy a nap maybe in the afternoon or whatever it is you like to do. That's between you and the Lord. You know, we're not here to investigate or ask. And then if you have an evening service, come on back to worship. And just enjoy that day. It's a beautiful rhythm.
Right. And I think, you know, we often hear a lot. I mean, this is our day. We constantly and incessantly hear people say we're so busy.
Right.
I mean, I get this all the time. I'm so busy. I can't manage all that's on my plate. And we're living in a day where we see people stressed out. We see people full of anxiety. We see all sorts of disorders. We see people constantly on new medications. I mean, how many new things are diagnosed all the time? How many problems are diagnosed all the time? And it's all due, and people will say this a lot, to stress. Right. People are constantly telling us how much stress affects the body, how much stress affects all of the things that we're doing in life. Well, God has given you a built-in remedy. God has given you, like Mike said, a festive holiday. And is it possible that the reason that you're facing all these things is because you're not listening to Him and you're not stopping and resting in Him as your strength? You're being taught every time you come together to worship that the week you're heading out into, you're going to go in His strength, not your own. And part of the problem is that we've been going in our own strength for far too long. We're not depending on Him. This is a day given for utter dependence upon Him, to pray to Him and to trust Him. So if somebody says to me, oh, I'm so tired from my busy week. It's Sunday and I just need to stay home because I'm so tired and I got a big week ahead of me. I'm going to say, no, the reason you're tired, then you have to be in worship. You need to be in worship so that you will receive the true rest for your soul.
Right. And isn't that what the Lord's Day afternoon is for? So often, you know, we're busy because we've crowded out the Lord's Day with other appointments and plans. And, well, I've got this birthday party or I've got to go to the beach and do this or that. Well, why not use that day for the things that you don't have time for, you know, the rest of the week? Like, oh, this is a day I have to pray. This is a day I have to catch up on some sleep. Right. This is a day, you know, I hear people say, I just wish I had more time to read, maybe a theological book or read my Bible. Well, don't you have the Lord's Day?
Yeah.
It's a whole day has been given to you.
Right. And I think too, you know, let's face it, one of the real beauties of worship, because we're so distracted, I think most people would agree, Mike, you know, I say, well, how's your prayer life? Or are you confessing your sins? The Lord gives you a day to come together with God's people. We're not good on our own. I'm preaching Exodus 17 this week. And the Amalekites come and attack the rear. And, you know, here goes Moses, and Moses himself needs help to hold up his hands in prayer. And the point is we come together as the body of Christ to pray and trust in the Lord and call out to Him for help. We don't do well alone. We're not created to be alone. We're a community of people assembling together. That's a real emphasis here in the Heidelberg, the importance of assembling together to depend upon the Lord for His strength.
That's right. And you know, still, if you're listening to this and thinking, okay, I get it. Yeah, I need to not be so crazy busy, distracted. I mean, the Sabbath is good, but it just still feels like, you know, I'm going back under the Mosaic law. We have to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ did not abrogate the Sabbath when he walked on this earth. You know, he cleansed it from the traditions of the Pharisees. He brought the Sabbath to its ultimate new covenant expression. He didn't tell the Pharisees that the Sabbath was no more. Instead, he reminded them that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, it's a blessing. It's a gift. And then in his resurrection, he's brought it to a new covenant expression. I like what B.B. Warfield said. He said that Christ took the Sabbath into the grave with him and brought out the Lord's day with the resurrection. We have the Lord's day each week. I look forward to it each week. It's the, to me, the best day of the week. It's a festive day. It's a restful day. It's a holiday. Even as a preacher and a pastor who's busy that day serving others, it's a day I look forward to.
Yeah. And just to encourage you, you know, it's something you also, if you have children, you want to train. What we're seeing right now is just on unprecedented levels, young people leaving the church. Is that because maybe parents for the longest time here in the United States have not trained their children to worship and to enjoy God on the Sabbath? They have no sense of its importance, no sense of needing it, because the parents have not taught them that. We also have little ones we're also witnessing to in our own homes, and this is something we can train them with to value and to love, to come up, to worship the Lord, and to rest in his gospel promises, which ultimately is what's held out for us as Hebrews. We outlined from the book of Hebrews, there's a rest held out for us. We're looking forward to those gospel promises in fulfillment. So thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we again invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. Call us at 888-504-8805. And so thankful to all of our listeners for taking time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. Until next time, may this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in his abounding grace. Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in his gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.